Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Grace to you, joy, peace, eternal life from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son. Amen. Well, on Christmas, it's interesting. There's a lot of times that it's only on Christmas and on Easter that some people come to church on a kind of tradition. And if that's ever the case, if someone ever comes here on the kind of that, that's great. We love to have you no matter what. But something to remember on Christmas is that we're not here going through the motions, because just coming to church on Christmas is what we do. We're here to have a birthday celebration, because we're celebrating the greatest birth of all time. Jesus Christ, the one through whom you were made, has come and take on flesh to be amongst us. And so this is a very, very special day, a birthday that we're celebrating today. And I'd like to look with you for a few moments at what makes this day, this birthday of Christ, so special, so unique. What sets it apart? How is it different from all the other births in the world? So let's take a look at that, that we might take a fresh joy in our Savior Jesus today. First of all, how many births do you think there are a year in the world? Millions, as in 133 million babies are born every year. I think of that verse in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply. Well, that's one thing people keep. There are 490,000 births every day, 247 every minute, 4 every second. Do you know what that means? That in the course of this sermon, there's going to be about 5,000 babies born. Or maybe if I speak a little longer, as sometimes happens, maybe 6,000. We'll see. And right now, somewhere, there is a woman at this very instant in travail of labor, bringing, going forth the birth pangs, ready to bring forth a newborn child. And somewhere right now, there is a brand new baby crying on the earth. In fact, many since I've even started talking a few seconds ago. New babies crying. This happens all the time. It is a miracle in itself, amen? That two tiny little seeds become one single cell and then become a beautiful new person? That's unbelievable, amazing. So what makes Jesus' birth so unique, so out of the box, so special, so extraordinary, way beyond any other birth that we've ever seen? Let's take a look at that so we can celebrate his birthday today with great joy. First of all, let's take a look at that famous passage in Matthew chapter 2 about Jesus' birth here. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east that has come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem in Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall govern my people Israel. What's special about Jesus' birth based on that verse? What are they quoting? The wise men came, the scribes, Herod's like, well, search the scriptures. Where is this Christ to be born? They said, in Bethlehem. So where are they looking? Micah chapter 5, you read that, and it says, this is from 800 plus years before Christ was born. But you, O Bethlehem, who are little be to me among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days, or actually, literally, days of eternity. So, the number one thing that makes Jesus, his birth special and unique is it was foretold way ahead of time. Now, when do we usually get a foretelling of a birth? 9 months ahead of time, right? Oh, I'm pregnant! And everybody goes, oh! But guess what? This is 9 centuries ahead of time. God already had it in mind and announced it's coming. In fact, Jesus' whole life, his whole details of his existence and what he would do were well prophesied in days past. Isaiah said he'd be ministering in Galilee. that in Isaiah 35, that he'd open the eyes of the blind and make the lame to walk. Psalm 2000 BC was that he would be the Son of God. Jeremiah 23 in about 600 BC, that he'd be from the line of David. Genesis 49, which was like, what, nearly 2,000 years before he came, that he'd be born in the tribe of Judah, which he was. Zechariah 9 in the 400 or so BC, that he'd ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, that he'd be betrayed for pieces of silver, says Zechariah. Isaiah, 8 centuries before Christ came, that he'd be offered as the sacrifice for the sins of the world, be raised from the dead. In Joel chapter 2, he prophesied that everybody who called upon him would be saved. So think about the foretelling of Jesus' birth. In fact, it goes all the way back to 4000 BC, the very beginning of the world, when God said to Eve, or to the serpent, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, Satan, and you shall bruise his heel. So think about that. How many people had their birth announced 4,000 years before you were born? This is a very special birth because, as Peter says, he was destined before the foundation of the world, made manifest at the end of the times to be Savior of all people, of all mankind. So think about that. That's number one, amazing that his birth was foretold. Secondly, it was a virgin birth. Isn't that amazing? Some clergy in modern times who have a very low view of Scripture and who have really departed from the faith, and there's a lot of them these days, have denied the virgin birth in recent years. But that is totally against the Scriptures, which are super, super clear and abundantly powerful on this. They make no mistake, it's clear as a bell, as we read in Matthew 1, that the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. So that's Isaiah chapter 7. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, how many people have ever seen a virgin give birth to a baby? Never before and never again since have we seen such a thing as this. Now, Naomi, my beautiful daughter, she's 17. Aye. You know, when we came here to this church years ago, she was 5. Can you believe that? Remember that? Those of you who were here then, now she's 17. She's getting Christmas presents about going to college and stuff. Wow. And Beth assures me that a large part of bringing her into this world was her job. You know, 9 months carrying Naomi and going through the morning sickness and all these changes in her body. And she went through the birth process and brought Naomi into the world. And she assures me I had at least a little something to do with it. Very small, but something. Same thing for all of us. We come into being, everybody here, because your parents came together physically, a man and a woman. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, that didn't occur. Mary said to the angel who announced this, she said, how can this be since I have no husband? And the angel said, behold, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary. Therefore, the child to be born is to be called Holy, the Son of God, God's own Son. Do you believe that? That God's own Son, who stretched out the stars in the beginning of the world, has now come down into Mary and born as one of us to reconcile us to the Father. This is absolutely amazing. Never before and never has it been seen since. But this was prophesied again in 1000 BC. Psalm 2 says, I'll tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, thou art my son. Today I've begotten thee. Ask of me, I'll make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession, says the Father to the Son. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. But blessed are all who take refuge in him. So, number one, foretold. Amen. Number two, born of a virgin. Thirdly, his birth was announced by angels. Did you guys have a wonderful birth announcement? I looked up a website that said, chic birth announcements for your baby. Give your child a grand debut. And they had all kinds of pretty cards you could buy and send to people. Well, guess what Jesus' sheep birth announcement was? Shepherds were out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and suddenly there was an angel, and then thousands of angels filling the sky, all praising God with glory. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for this is the good news of great joy come to you and to everybody, that to you is born this day in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord." What a birth announcement! I mean, did you have this on your birth? Angels are unseen creatures. They exist. They're even here in this room. Do you think they're here in this room right now? I believe they are, guarding and watching over the preaching of the word and your ears that they might hear the message. But they don't usually manifest and let you see them. But here in this case, they appear to shepherds, to Mary, to Joseph, to Zechariah, etc. Now, sometimes you might buy a birth announcement that has those little cards and open it up and it's like Rocky or Superman theme. You seen those cards? Like those kinds of things. But this one, we have angels, friends. Angels. They think this is something specially singing about, and so should we. So that's number three. The grand debut came by angels. And not only that, but by a, what was up in the sky? A star. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it's straight here, in the days of Herod the king, wise men came from the east, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him." What kind of star was this, do you think? Do you see the stars recently? In fact, I went out the other night. I've been studying the stars and the moon lately and looked out with the binoculars and looked at the moon and the stars and twinkle, twinkle, little star. They're very beautiful. But this one's special. Why? Have you ever seen a star manifest itself only to some people that got to see it and others didn't? The Magi did. Herod's like, "What star?" They're like, "The one in the east that we saw." And they came and it disappeared. But then when they left Herod, they were leaving Jerusalem, walking 6 miles to Bethlehem. The star appeared. Herod didn't see it, but they saw it. And then it came to rest over a stable. You ever seen an angel or a star lead you to a particular room? I ain't never seen that. If you have, come and see me because I'm available for counseling on Tuesday. But in this case, this was a supernatural star that God placed into the sky to be seen by these men, to lead them to a special place. That makes Jesus' birth tantamount to glory and a mountainous splendor beyond anybody else. Fifth, it was a lowly birth. It was announced to whom? To kings? No. To great men and generals? No. But to shepherds that were out in the field. Now, shepherds were the lowest, basically bottom of the totem pole. But they got the birth invitation to come and see him. Because God loves to choose the lowly in the world to shame the wise and the strong and to bring them to nothing. Jesus was also born in a very low place. Do you know that? Where's the lowest place on planet Earth? Dry land. Dry earth. Dead Sea, which is only a few miles from Bethlehem where he's born. That's at 1,400 feet below sea level. The driest earth on planet Earth is right next to where Jesus was born. He took the lowest place, elevation-wise, in the lowliest of cities, Bethlehem. I mean, if you were to pass by it and say, see a sign that says, "Welcome to Bethlehem," it probably said, "Blink, you might miss it." The only thing it had fame for was that David, the king, was born there centuries previous. And when he came there, there was no place for him at the inn, but not the Radisson, but a stable. Not plush blankets, but wrapped in the scraps of clothing, and no crib, but a manger where animals feed from. And Luther, commenting on this, said, "In the meantime, an evil person occupied the inn next door and permitted himself to be honored as Lord, but here is the Lord himself in lowly attire." What's that mean for you? Is Jesus come to be on your level? He could be so high above you, you can't even see him in glory. But he came and he says, "I want you to see me down here where you are." And even he got down on his knees and served us. He wants to be one with you and for you to know him as friend as well as king. And Luther said, "He was born amongst the beasts. It's because God chooses the low in the world, that he might bring down that which is high and exalt that which is low. And sixthly, when it comes to his birth, I don't know of any other birth in the history of the world of a human being that made the kingdom of darkness tremble. Do you know that Satan and all of his host of wicked cohorts of evil spirits, you know, when we were born, they weren't trembling for fear. But when Christ broke through into human flesh, they're like, a great terror seized them. And the whole kingdom was thrown into chaos because they knew that this was the Prince of Peace. The angels knew Jesus before he was born. They were angels in heaven before they fell. They knew who the prince was. And all of a sudden, they're like, when he came and entered into the synagogue, they're like, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. I've known you up above. You're the prince. Don't cast me into the abyss, Jesus. They trembled for fear. And Herod, remember, when he saw Jesus, that heard that Jesus was born to be king, he went and wiped out all the children 2 years old and younger. That was inspired by Satan, because he's the murderer and he wanted to destroy the Christ before the Christ destroyed him. There's been no other birth ever before or ever since that made the whole kingdom of darkness tremble and quake for fear and put them in a great pandemonium of chaos and frightened faces. And even the angels in heaven, the glorious ones, the good ones, they, Peter says, look into the gospel which you are hearing preached to you, and they look into it with piercing eyes and curiosity. These are things into which angels long to look, says Peter. And yet we have people going by today, and they're just drinking eggnog and celebrating with presents. But angels, I'll tell you, angels, they're looking into these things with piercing, curious, wondrous eyes, that their prince should become a man. For it was God's own son coming to earth. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Born to reign, born to rule, born to be king over us. And each year we see the world hating him as king and rejecting him, such that they'll even remove your Christmas ornaments from the lawn in some places. But I tell you, every knee shall bow before this child. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is born, to the glory of God the Father. And as one Lutheran commentator, Kretzmann, writes of that day, he says, they'll not see Christ again until that day when he returns in glory, and when even his enemies, who will then be completely confounded, will have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Then their lips, for the chattering of their teeth, will hardly be able to form the words, and their heart will utter curses and imprecations, but they'll have to acknowledge him whom they killed as Lord of all. And seventh, and finally here, about Jesus' birth, it's unique in this. Think about this, that it was unto you that he was born. You know, unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior. Which of our births could it be said that it was unto the world, unto mankind, unto the universe, God's gift to the world? But it is said so of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It was God's plan to send him to save us and to give us eternal life as a gift, free gift, received by faith in his name. Now, the world treats all this as just any other birth. People are not in church today. Look, I mean, we have the gulkies here filling half the pews, right? We have empty spaces here. Why are they not filled? What if I were to put on that sign, and I should have done it, come and meet God. He's going to be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, or on Monday morning. How many people would come? Well, he's here, and he is seeking a home. He's seeking a place to be born in human hearts who would receive him as Lord. But most of the world says, there's no room at my inn, Jesus. Seek somewhere else. But understand this. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He wants to be born in you, and I believe he already is. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself on the cross as a ransom price for us all, the testimony to which was born at the proper time. So, do your knees bow to Jesus Christ today? Is he born in your heart? Is he living here? I believe he is. If he's not, come to him and believe in him today. The doors are open. But if he is in you already today, know this. He came to his own home and his own people didn't receive him. But to everybody who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we're celebrating Jesus' birth today, but also your birthday. Because he's born inside of you. And just like angels rejoiced at the birth of Jesus Christ, the angels rejoice also and celebrate at your birth. That Jesus is born in you, and you're born again in him, now an heir of heaven. And by his knowledge, God says, by Jesus' knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many, make you guys to be accounted before God as righteous through faith in him. And he shall bear your sins. So let's rejoice today. A birthday, a great one, the best beyond all others. King of kings and Lord of lords, a day of great joy. Conclude with this. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord